Welcome to the show that'll keep you from falling behind during the week. With your hostesses with no ghostesses, Jackie and Belinda here for the Friday Catch-Up on the Paraquest Radio Network.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Friday Catch-Up. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
We're going to be an awesome pair this week.
Yay!
Yay, we both have the sniffles. Yay!
Yay.
So if you all get sick of hearing, and then you're just going to have to get over it for this week. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been a really, really long week.
I'm sorry.
Oh, not in a bad way, it's just so much stuff jammed into such a short 7 days.
7 days.
I know, it sounds like forever, and yet, here we are again.
Yay!
Let's see, Kiddo had district athletics last Friday. She's in band camp the last 3 days. I now have to go up and sit at the school, which is on the Wednesday, and listen to her play the tunes that they've been learning over the last 3 days. And then she goes to school for 1 day. And then she goes back to districts again. Yay! Ooh. So she gets 1 day of school in 7 days.
Ugh. Lucky.
Silly girl. And then she wanted to go to a second band camp, and I'm like, no. And she's, I hate you. I'm like, that's okay. You're allowed to hate me. And she's like,
That's your job, to be hated.
Exactly. If I was loved all the time, I'm not doing my job right.
Oops. I totally left my Facebook open. Your mom could have gotten me.
Nelly. Is it fixed now?
Yes.
Yay. I love you, Mom. I really do.
I'm telling you, man, like, one day we should just, like, we should just have a Skype conference with her and then be like, oh, by the way, we recorded this and this will be airing.
She would kill us. Slowly.
She'd still love us, though.
Maybe.
See, I'm convinced that your mom totally just wants to be a guest one day. She just doesn't want to say it.
Maybe. I don't know, but I think it'd freak everybody out because everybody tells me that I sound exactly like my mom, which is exactly what you want to hear.
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
Oh, don't feel bad. I used to, after school, I would go to work with my mom, mm-hmm. and I would answer the phone for her, and people would say, Anne, this is so-and-so. I'm not Anne. Who is? I'm her daughter.
Oh.
It happened a lot. I don't think we sound alike, but that's apparently right. We do.
I was given a stuffed animal at work today. Yep, that happened. I was there, we serviced a scooter, and I don't know what these people do. It looks like they might go around handing out toys at hospitals or something, because they had a garage full of stuffed animals.
Wow.
And I don't mean taxiderm stuffed animals. I mean the type you pick up on, you know, show bag alley and all that type of stuff at the Ecca and state fairs and things like that. Anyway, the guy goes, oh, and hang on a second, let me get a toy for your daughter. I work with my uncle. I'm 31 this year. My uncle's driving home. He's cracking up laughing, going, I think he thought you two were a teenager. I'm like, that's not the first time. So, yeah. Apparently my haircut makes me look like a pixie. So I now have what looks like a border collie that's over a foot tall.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this? I don't want it. The kiddo certainly doesn't need it. She's got enough toys to, I don't know, ring the earth or whatever, so. Just stupid.
I have an idea.
You do?
I do. It's a good idea. We should have, like, some kind of contest, and whoever guesses the correct answer wins it.
Yeah, but I'm not posting it to anybody because it would cost a freaking fortune.
Then let's hope that your mom wins so she can just go pick it up.
It's still going to be sitting here for weeks and weeks and weeks, though. I don't see my mom in person very often. Oh, my gosh. And before you ask, no, by Wednesday, Mum, I haven't got the present that you sent home with Auntie Alison. I didn't go into work today because my bus broke down.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we get about 3 stops up the road, which is, you know, about the stage when my e-reader is usually working. So, yes, it takes that long. And the bus goes blah, blah. It's like, this is not good. I'm supposed to be going out on a job this morning. And the bus driver's like, everybody off. And we're like, So we're all getting off, and hubby drives past with the kiddo taking her to band camp, and I'm like waving pathetically as he goes past. And then, like, 10 minutes later, the bus driver's like, okay, we're just gonna hop, skip it, jump it, and we're gonna get it to the thing. And by then, my aunt's rung me and said, oh, look, just get off at this such and such a school and wait there, and your uncle will pick you up on the way through. I'm like, okay, let's do that, shall we? So anyway, this school just happens to be the same school that kiddo's at band camp for. So hubby must have dropped her off, walked her in, managed to find his way back, because the campus is huge, back to his car. And by the time it took me, in a limping, horrible, coughing, awful bus, to get another 6 stops, cross a major road, and walk about 100 metres down the road to this bus stop, he finally goes around the corner. And he's like on the outside lane, and he goes flying across to the other side of the lane, just about runs into a four-wheel drive, just to go, what the hell's going on? It's like, go away! I know what I'm doing. So he must have thought that I wanted a lift home or something.
Yay.
I don't know, but it's just like, get away! I know what I'm doing. Go! You just about caused a blanky accident, you goof. So yeah, that was my day today. It was very, very long. And I've already had a nap, so.
Yay, nap.
Yay, nap. Let's hope I can stay up listening to the kids trying to kill kitties. Because that's what it sounds like most of the time. Yep.
Okay, I'm done.
So how's your week been?
Incredibly uneventful.
Well, that's not what I wanted. I was trying to blow my nose.
So that's what that god awful noise was? I was scared. I was like, oh god, a video starts playing.
No. I had it on mute, dude. At least I think I did.
Please. I don't think so.
Oh god. I muted. I moved the doobie. Wow, I blew my nose that loud that... God. So how's your week been? I apologize to everybody's ears.
Out of me. Sorry. I'm thinking, oh god, I lost audio, and then I hear something, I'm like, oh god, a video's playing.
I'm editing that video. So how's your week been?
If we don't quit laughing, you're going to have a lot more to edit out.
Oh, God. I did it. I had it muted. See, look, it works. And it doesn't work.
I don't know. I may have just heard something, but I could have sworn it sounded like you went... Now I almost want to pause and go back and see if you did.
Don't be mean to me.
hurt.
Okay, so anybody who's trying to get heads or tails out of what just happened, apparently I blew my nose, and I didn't mute like I thought I did. Stupid.
We might have to pause for a minute.
Let it go. At least it means I don't have to talk as much.
Oh my god, that was funny. I'm not sure which is funnier, my reaction or yours. Okay. How did my weekend go? Incredibly uneventful. And, yeah, because I haven't had the kids. So, Friday. I hurt. My ab muscles are killing me right now. Oh, God. Let's see. I started rereading.
Sorry.
It's going to be one of those shows.
And I swear I haven't taken anything besides just lemon and ginger tea. I swear. Oh god. Okay, so you yeah, that must be really good. So you started reading.
I did. I started rereading Denise Frost's Night Hunter series.
Mm-hmm.
I have Neil Gaiman's Ocean at the End of the Lane, but I've been more in a vampire mood, so I've been kind of just rereading what I've already read. I did kind of pick up a new book. Well, it's not new by any means, but new to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's called A Drop of Crimson Blood, and it is by Janine Frost. It's part of her Night Hunter series, but it's part of the Night Hunter's world.
Oh, so same world, different characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I promise I'll stop laughing randomly in a minute. But it follows two of the characters that up until this point haven't really gotten a lot of light. Their names are Spade and Denise, and it shows she basically gets attacked by a demon. And it shows their fight with that. And also, Spade, whose real name is Baron Charles de Mortimer, is trying to battle with his inner feelings of having emotions regarding a human woman.
Mm-hmm, because that's not done.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Right now, I'm kind of thinking that Janine Frost kind of stretched it out a little bit, so this is probably not going to be one of my favorites. But, oh well.
Let's see. Since the last show, I finished reading The Archived by Victoria Schwab.
Yay!
And I have started reading The Bone Season by Samantha Shannon. And I have an uncorrected proof. And I've found so many mistakes. I really hope she has a line editor. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
This one is currently 466 pages. I'm thinking it's probably gonna, you know, get edited massively, so I don't think the finished copy will be that long. I am about 75 pages in, and I started it 3 days ago, so it's not that it's bad, it's just that I have been incredibly bogged down and busy, and it's just, ugh. And apparently I'm meeting Marianne on Friday to get more review books. I'm like, I haven't even reviewed the ones you gave me last time yet. So I need to knuckle down when I get home tonight from listening to the kiddo and her friends and all them, and tomorrow night, and get these book reviews written before it kills me. or Marianne does, whichever of the two. Yeah, that's basically been my reading.
Yay!
I told you in the last show that I picked up a copy of Affliction, didn't I?
Yes.
Yay, I haven't read it yet. Yay!
Well, I think you... I'm not sure if you told me on air or off air, but yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, so it's sitting there, just waiting for the TBR pile to, you know, get below 117.
Oh boy!
Yeah, if you follow me on Goodreads, you'll see just how much of a disaster I'm living in right now. And it's not that I don't like it. I like having things to read. I like having choices. You know, I like free books. You know, that's really, really excellent. It's just, you know, having to put the review books ahead of everything else because you got those ones for free. All the agreement is you read them for nothing, you review them, and then everybody's happy, and it's all good. So, I don't know. I might pick up less on Friday than I would normally. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
We will see. If there's something incredibly, like, there, then, yeah, it's just going to come home with me. I just don't care. Affliction can wait. I have spoilers from you, so I know what happens. So it's not like I'm going to be going, oh my god, I must read it. Which is exactly why I asked for the spoilers in the first place.
Yep.
So that it wouldn't be kicking my ass.
So. That and I was still going, oh my god, oh my god. So I had to tell someone, but no one else had read it yet.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't really get us to go, I know. Oh.
Exactly. So.
Okay, so you read, I read, after we aired on Friday, your time, Saturday, my time, I got my ass ready and I went off and I spoke at an inaugural writers' convention. Yay! I don't know whether I want to play the speech that I recorded beforehand because I didn't say it like that. I was really crappy and I made mistakes and it was really awkward and people commented on my high heels, not my speech, so that was good. but it turned out that the Vision Writers Group was the youngest group of people there. Considering we have members up to 50 years old, that tells you something.
Nice.
The Grey Army was out in force. So there were lots of people, lots of older people, lots of grumpy old men saying, you can't teach people how to be an author. They either are or they aren't. So
they're British?
No, but they sound like pompous asters.
You sounded so posh and proper and British when you said that.
Oh, it was something. So, you know.
Suddenly miss Allie.
I know, we should have her here. She could have said that and better than I could.
She could have enjoyed the snork.
I'm sure she'll enjoy it at some stage. Maybe I won't edit. I don't have time to edit. God.
So this is going to be like nothing but a 10-minute giggle fest. Great.
Yeah, everyone's going to love that one.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Apologize now.
Yeah, sorry about that. Bit late to apologise, but yeah. So we weren't the first lot of people there, but we certainly were the last lot of people there. We helped pack up, made plans for some of the other members to go and see Pacific Rim or something after the writers' meeting tomorrow, as in Sunday, because it's Wednesday. Oh, God. Yeah, so it was really, really excellent, and so many of my crew were there. It was so lovely. You know, they were even walking in, like, through the speaker that was before me, so they all made it there, they all heard me stuff up, and, you know, it was really, really cool. and apparently and there's a picture of me online, and I look like I'm examining someone's head.
You probably were.
Maybe.
You're weird like that.
Yeah, well, all bets are off when it comes to weirdness and me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And did you
I'm so jealous.
Did you see my video of our trip home from that?
No, because Facebook decided it wanted to eat it again.
Eat it?
As in, like, okay. People will post pictures or videos or things like this to their Facebook. And I won't get it because Facebook decides that's not important enough for me to see.
Oh, okay. Well, you should go onto my page and go and look at it. We're heading out towards my house, like she was driving me home, and literally, honest to God, hand to the sky, a DeLorean drove past us. Honest to God, the rego plate read sci-fi, as in S-C-I-F-I.
That's awesome.
Honest to God, there was a sticker on it that read, "My other time machine is a TARDIS."
Oh!
So, in that video, that's us going, "Oh my gosh, I shall, I shall!" And you sort of see it for like a millisecond. Because it took me a while to find my bloggy in my bag.
Bloggy in the bag. That sounds like it should be a group.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know what else should be a group?
What?
Dutch and Dutchy.
I thought it was always Duchess, not Dutchy.
No, see, okay. There's a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Joanna, Jamie, and I were on the phone. Every great story begins that way, I promise. But we were on the phone. We'd gotten into a discussion of the royal family because of the whole, you know, new baby, which they named George Alexander Lewis.
Yay!
And Jamie was really, really tired. And she said, you know, I don't understand why they're the prince and princess, but they're also the Dutch and the Duchy. I went, "Did you mean the Duke and the Duchess?" She goes, "Yeah, that one." So that's our new joke. We refer to them as the Dutch and the Duchy of Cambridge.
And I'm sure when I go back through and listen to this, I'll realize I've made just as bad an issue as Robin did. And I'm eating chocolate, just so you know. Yes.
Chocolate. So, you're not blowing your nose.
Well, I don't know. I figure you've all heard me eat before. Now you've heard me blow my nose. Yay!
We didn't get to hear a burp, though.
No, that all went through my nose on that episode that I tried the Dr. Pepper.
Don't worry, I've made up for it.
Actually, this sore throat kind of feels the same, so maybe I've been walking in my sleep again. I don't know.
Walking and Dr. Pepper drinking and...
Which is a really long way, considering the nearest Dr. Pepper is, like, half an hour's bus ride away.
That's impressive. I am thoroughly impressed.
So, apparently I can catch the bus in my sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how some douchebag decided to steal my daughter's umbrella the other week?
Yes.
The company that made the umbrella in the first place, I wrote to them and said, you know, this is what's happened. Last week, they wrote back to me and said, "Oh, that's okay. We'll send you another one. Don't worry about paying. We'll just give it to you." And it got here yesterday.
Yay.
And it's exactly the same as the one that was stolen. And I love that umbrella so much. Like, I don't use it, but it's like a golf umbrella, so it's massive.
Yay.
And it has a squishy handle.
Yay, squishy.
So when you're trying to grab it in the windstorm, it doesn't sort of like... you know, whack you in the head so much because you can actually control it.
Yay.
Yay. So it's all good. Kiddo was happy with that one. I videotaped it. She's like, "I don't know why you have to videotape me." I'm like, "Because I'm going to send it to the company." And she's like, "Yay." She's such a teenager now. It's not fair.
I'm so jealous.
Of...
not the teenager part. I'm jealous because one of my favorite artists is coming to, or is in, your neck of the woods.
I know, and I have a chance, but I unfortunately can't make it because that's the time that I would be spending walking home with the kiddo.
I know. Right. That makes me sad.
I know. So anyone who doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, Voltaire will be at Voodoo Lulu's. And if you're hearing this, well, you weren't there maybe. So sucks for you. Yeah.
And yes, everyone has more than likely heard of him, especially if you are around, let's see, I think it was, what, the first year that I was on the show? It was your birthday and I snuck it past you?
I think it was last year.
I can't remember, but I know there was one year that I told you you couldn't play it until we brought up your birthday, and I got you.
Yeah, it was my 30th, and the song was something about old as dirt. Something like that. Thanks for that.
Happy birthday, my old friend.
Exactly. So he's a bit of a laugh. Yeah.
I love that man.
We'll see how we go. I don't know. I'm not going to make it, but, you know, we'll see whether that friend of mine can go. Cross fingers.
I will love that friend forever.
I know. Oh, she's the best, so. We will see.
I thought I was the best.
You're the best on the Northern Hemisphere. She's the best on the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay. Just making sure.
There's got to be two bests. Because, you know, sometimes, like, you're asleep.
You know, that whole 15-hour time difference between us.
Exactly. So, you know, when you're a comatose, that's when she kicks in.
Comatose!
Just you know, don't get through too much insomnia because, you know, that takes out of her time. You got to sleep.
Comatose.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Well, being comatose or sleep.
Like toast with common.
Vegemite's better.
Ew.
Hey, did you hear the Amanda Palmer song about Vegemite?
No.
Oh, you got to go listen to it. It's hilarious.
Now I want to go listen to Dear Daily Mail.
I had that in my head for an entire week. I am not going back to that one. And, you know, just randomly walking to work. You know, I had that quick look around to make sure that there's nobody around. That cars aren't driving past with their windows down, and then you sort of skip along and you swing your arms with the umbrella and you say it and you're like, oh, look, that person's looking at me weird. Oh, well, damage is done.
We didn't get naked in the street.
No. There's no nudity.
My entire body is trying to escape my kimono. Oh, God, Melinda, put your clothes back on.
I'm in my PJs at the moment because I can't figure out what I'm supposed to wear tonight, so maybe it'll happen. I don't know.
Well, if you go by Amanda Palmer's influence, you'll be naked.
Yeah, but I shave my arms on the weekend, so it's not going to have the same
effect. I don't think women are obligated to shave, but it just it's more aesthetically pleasing.
Well, I mean, during winter, I really can't be stuffed because I know I'm going to be wearing long sleeve shirts, long jumpers, and things like that. So, you know, it's a winter coat. It keeps me warm. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. You know what's funny?
What?
There's a dating website called OkCupid, and it's one of those where you ask, you answer a bunch of different questions, and based on how you answer this group of questions is how they
match you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a few of those over here.
Yeah. Well, one of them is, do you think women are obligated to shave? And of course I went, no. But you would be surprised at how many men think that's an obligation. I'm like, I'm not obligated to do anything for you.
I will shave my armpits when you do. And then you realize that he's going to end up spending more time in the bathroom than you will. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Just let it grow.
Yep.
So, you know, manscaping is all fine and dandy as long as he does it quickly.
Manscaping.
I'm
going to use that for now. Manscaping.
That's all right. There was a new term in the archive that I want to use too.
Oh god.
Guyliner instead of eyeliner. Yee. Ooh, something else I've been watching online, which has been taking up my time, which is why I've been incredibly busy. One of the YouTubers that I watch, Misty the Book Rat, really, really enjoy her video logs and her hauls and her everything. She's just awesome. And she's got a great sense of humour. One of her things that she does is she enjoys Jane Austen books. So she either does Jane in June, if she's not too busy in June, or she does Austen in August. This year she was completely bogged down in the months leading up to June, so she's doing Austen in August. And, you know, just flicking around the net, and then Marianne flicks me an email and says, oh, go and watch this. And it is, honest to God, a woman's, I think it was her university assignment or something. She has gone through Pride and Prejudice and, you know, modernized it enough, but, you know, not that much. And she's done video logs, and I think there's 98 video logs, and basically telling the story of Pride and Prejudice from Lizzie Bennet's point of view.
Wow.
Including, oh my god, Darcy's such a douchebag. So I reckon you could do a drinking game if you played them all one after the other. Darcy's a douchebag. Take a drink. So, so yeah, oh, it's just awesome. I'm not really a massive fan of the classic novels, but anything that's got a modern twist to it, I'm there. So Lost in Austen, which was a BBC production back a couple of years ago, where a modern-day woman walks through a wall and then suddenly she's in Pride and Prejudice. So it's all the same characters and everything. And she falls in love with Darcy because she loved Darcy out in the real world. And then Darcy follows her back through the wall. And so Darcy's in modern-day England and it's just insanely crazy. But you have to go and watch that one because really I'm not doing it justice by explaining it. So this Lizzie Bennet Diaries on YouTube is just like a massive coolness thing to me. And I'm just a little bit over halfway. And I should be doing book reviews, but Lizzie Bennet's there. So I blame Marianne for this one. She gave me the link. She wants
me. Technically, you could do a review on Pride and Prejudice once you're done, and there you go.
Well, I'm going to do a blog post, but I think I'm going to do a blog post of putting the modern twist on Pride and Prejudice. So, you know, if you're not really into the hardcore Jane Austen-esque, you know, hardcore purist, which I'm not, I've read Jane Eyre, that's about as far as I want to go on that one. Yep. So, modernisation is the way to go to make it more palatable for us poo heads that don't like the classics. Just saying. And I really need to blow my nose, but my mute doesn't work, apparently.
Blow your nose.
Okay, tell me if you can... Tell, yeah, huh? I'm going to try and mute, so talk for a bit, okay?
Well, the only thing I've been doing recently as far as YouTube is concerned is I've discovered a new band thanks to my friend Joanna. They're called the Black Veil Brides.
Thank God. I thought it was going to be One Direction.
No. I'm like a huge fan of One Direction. Like, oh my God. No. When I first heard the song, you know how when you hear someone's voice, you kind of picture what they look like, and vice versa, you see what they look like, you picture what they sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can honestly say that what I had in mind when I first heard this man's voice is not what I saw. He's this little scrawny thing. He's only 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he has like a very powerful voice. It's like, whoa! And he's kind of cute. So. So that's pretty much been my YouTube adventures.
Your little obsession for the week.
Yep.
Yay.
And it's a nice obsession. I'm okay with that.
Ooh, ooh. Okay. I'm going to play a noise, and you tell me what you think it is, okay?
Oh, God.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
My first guess was, sounds like a bed squeaking.
Okay, quickly in the chat room, tell me what you think it is. Now, I know at least one of you, Mum, will know exactly what that noise is. quick. Alrighty. So, second guess.
Wasn't a cat.
Oh, wasn't it?
Was it a cat?
It was a cat. Scientists discover new meaning for cat chattering.
Ooh.
And my cats make that noise all the time. A recent discovery about wildcat hunting techniques has brought new light to a well-known behavior in domestic cats. A group of scientists doing field work in the Amazon forests of Brazil were recording the vocalizations of a group of pied tamarin monkeys when a wildcat showed up and started making calls identical to those of the monkeys. This was the first recorded instance of a wildcat in the Americas mimicking the calls of its prey. Blah, 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 blah. Even the domesticated cats still have hunting instincts, and behaviors related to those instincts surface from time to time. One of these is chattering, which generally happens when a cat sees a bird or a rodent outside a window. Cat chatter usually begins with a bird loudly chirping near a cat. The cat becomes riveted to the bird. That happens. After just a minute, the cat will then start to tweet and chatter, its mouth moving in sync with the bird's beak. Ooh. There are a few theories about why domestic cats chatter when hunting, says certified cat behavior consultant Marilyn Krieger. She sounds like a crazy cat lady. Also known as the cat coach. Yep, she's a crazy cat lady. The reasons that make sense to me are that they chatter in anticipation or they chatter when frustrated. Another possible reason for this is that they are chattering in response to the surge of adrenaline. The word chatter implies meaningless sound, but Rose's work in the Amazon indicates that the sounds could mean a lot to the intended prey than previously thought. The monkeys in his study were nearly fooled, and many feral cats succeed in catching birds with the chatter technique. YouTube is full of videos featuring talking cats, most of which simply show cats making unusual human-like sounds when they're annoyed by something or they're about to expel a hairball. Lovely. People record anything, won't they? Blah, blah, blah. So, cool. You got it.
Yay! I don't have a cool soundbite for mine. This would be the part where I included something that sounds like...
I'd find that, but, you know, my nose is all stuffy. And it blocks up my...
it quickly, but no.
Blocks up my brain. Okay, go for it.
Okay, this one's a little old, but for all you Vamp fans out there, I've got two stories just for you. I'll read one now and one in a little while, I guess.
Okay.
Or I guess I can read both of them so Belinda can go,
however you want to play it.
I'll give you a break. I'll just read both of them.
Okay, cool.
As I said, both of these are a little old by, like, almost a year, but still cool. Rare skeleton of vampire discovered in Britain with spikes through shoulders, heart, and ankles. Yay! Which is ironic because the person that wrote this article, last name is Edward.
Well, at least it wasn't scissors, because that'd be really awkward.
A little bit. Long dismissed as myth and legend, the vampire is associated with spooky stories or, for many teenagers, a Twilight heartthrob. Again, ugh. Irony.
They don't sparkle, just saying.
But for those who lived in the Middle Ages, it was a deadly serious business, and they took extreme measures against anyone suspected of being able to haunt them in the afterlife. Now, details of one of the few vampire burials in Britain have emerged. A new archaeology report tells the discovery of a skeleton dating from 550 to 700 AD, buried in the ancient Minster town of Southwell, Nottinghamshire, with metal spikes through its shoulders, heart, and ankles. It is believed to be a deviant burial where people consider the dangerous dead, such as vampires, were interred to prevent them from rising from their graves to plague the living. Only a handful of such burials have been unearthed in the UK. The discovery is detailed in a new report by Matthew Beresford of Southwell Archaeology. The skeleton was found by archaeologist Charles Daniels during the original investigation of the site in Church Street in the town 1959, which revealed Roman remains. In the 1950s, the Hammer horror films were popular, and so people had seen Christopher Lee's Dracula, so it would have been quite relevant. In this report, Mr. Beresford says, the classic portrayal of the dangerous dead, more commonly known today as vampires, is an undead corpse rising from the grave, and all the amounts from this period reflect this.
Accounts.
Throughout... Huh?
The undead corpses are rising from the grave, and all the accounts from this period reflect this. You said amounts.
Oh. Sorry.
Very similar, but not quite.
Yeah. I guess my dyslexia kicked in, because I totally thought that was an M.
That's alright.
Oops. Throughout the Anglo-Saxon period, the punishment of being buried in waterlogged ground, face down, decapitated, staked, or otherwise, was reserved for thieves, murderers, or traitors, or later for those deviants who did not conform to society's rules. Adulterers, disruptors of the peace, the unpious or oathbreaker. Which of these the Southwell deviant was, we will never know. So, vampire.
I'm thinking my in-laws, if I die before them, they're probably going to need to do this because the urge to go and rattle chains, it's going to be pretty big. You know, make pens drop out of the sky. Barely missing fingers. Oh.
I don't know. I think you and I would be pretty cool ghosts.
Yeah, you know, we'd be like the two cranky men in the Muppets, just on everything.
We could have our, like, afterlife version of Friday Ketchup, except it'd be like, I don't know, I couldn't think of anything clever right then. Sexual Sundays.
running commentary on everybody.
Yep.
We will see
and
everything.
And we wouldn't have to censor ourselves.
No. And there'd be no such thing as breakfast radio, so it'd be like, all bets are off.
Speaking of breakfast radio, I should probably go ahead and get this one out of the way. Luckily, it's not too gruesome. Romanian tourist bored to use alleged links between British royalty and Dracula to boost UK visitor numbers. The royal family's ancestry has been linked to Vlad the Impaler. Last year, Prince Charles made reference to his ancestral ties, links to the 15th century tyrant. Vlad the Impaler inspired Bram Stoker's diabolical villain, Count Dracula. Not actually correct, but close enough.
Splitting hairs.
I won't go into details. But anyway, the Romanian Tourist Board plans to promote the alleged family ties between British royalty and the tyrant who inspired Dracula to entice more UK visitors to the country. The royal family's ancestry has been linked to Vlad III, Prince of Wallachia, who earned the... Why do they throw these words at me? I don't know what they are.
Wheelbarrow.
Sobriquet... Okay. earned the name Vlad the Impaler thanks to his penchant for having his victims spiked on huge metal stakes. I like how casually they say that.
Yeah, you know, everyday occurrence.
Yeah. That makes it sound like it was like just a hobby he did on the weekend.
Let them eat cake.
Wake up in the morning, shower, impale people, have some lunch. Anyway, the Romanian National Tourist Office announced plans to use these royal links to in promotional campaigns to lure curious Brits to a London trade fair, which opened today, which was a year ago. Should I point out the irony for anyone who has read Dracula? The humor of luring the British to Romania? It didn't work out so well for Jonathan Harker. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the country has already welcomed 7% more Britons in the first 3 months of this year than in the same period last year, and as many as 118,000 visited in 2011. In a 2011 documentary about the Carpathian Mountains, Prince Charles made a reference to his ancestral links to Dracula, which is funny because they have pictures of the two of them side by side, and it's weird because you start noticing, wait a minute, they do kind of look this, whoa, weird. Let's see. Scroll down a little because it's a really, really long article.
Yep.
How the royal family is linked to Count Dracula. It's not Count Dracula. They're just trying to piss me off. Vlad the Impaler, who did not inspire Bram Stoker's Dracula, Bram Stoker. Anyway, is tied to Britain's royal family, both
genealogically.
There we go.
Yay!
And through a medical condition that gives sufferers a thirst for blood. It is believed that Queen Mary, consort of George V, was related to the 15th century slayer Vlad the Impaler, who is also known as Dracula. Vlad is said to have dispatched more than 100,000 Turkish warriors in battle. The vampire legend was fed by his predilection for eating bread dipped in his victim's blood. And it is known that porphyria, an iron deficiency which is thought to lie behind the vampire myth and may have spurred Vlad's taste for blood, has run in the royal family. That's not what Doctor Who says. According to Doctor Who, they are all werewolves. So they can't be related to Vlad the Impaler because he's a vampire. You can't have a hybrid.
Okay, after talking about Amanda Palmer earlier on, have a look at who wrote this story a year ago.
Oh, God. I accidentally closed out of it. Hang on. No, come back. Okay. Oh, God.
The Daily Fail.
Daily Fail.
Yay.
Daily Mail.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to have it in my head. Nasty. Okay, we're closing out of that one. And I don't care what Snooki's post-baby body looks like. She's probably just got another boob job, so it looks massive. Oh, hang on. No, she's breastfeeding. Anyway. How much time we got? No, I don't want that one. Oh, piss off. We want this one. We got 10 minutes left. Okay. I want you to think. I don't know what it's like in the US, so you'll have to vocalize while you're thinking. If all the foreigners that were overweight in America were sent home because they were obese, how many people would be left?
Oh. Not many. Actually, there'd be a lot because, you know, America is overweight overweight and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in Australia, we have a really, really large, and I'm talking large, population of Islander people. So New Zealand, Samoa, you know, Papua New Guinean, you know, all the islands that are around Australia. We tend to, you know, we're the lucky country. You know, our dollar is actually better than a lot of those countries around us. So they come over here and they bring their 50 million relatives and they all live in one house. And they, you know, they have 20 million babies when they're over here and they get the baby bonus. And you know, because they're too busy looking after their 50 million babies and their 20 million that they've just had, they're raking in a bunch of dough. And of course, you know, because a lot of them quite naturally are large because they are literally warrior races, you know, they're meant to be muscly and large. If we were to send them all home for being obese, Australia would just about be empty, dude. So they have earthquakes over there. People aren't so much worried. It's more, you know, it's like, oh, well, thank God we're over here. So, you know, especially Christchurch and places like that. You know, you're more ringing up grandma who's out on the boat somewhere, you know, on a cruise. Not so much uncle, because uncle just lives down the road. I have got a point, I promise you. Obese man faces New Zealand deportation. South African man facing deportation from New Zealand for being too fat has said he agrees with the policy but feels he should be allowed to stay. Officials are worried that Albert, that name, who weighs 130 kilos or 20 stone, I don't know what that is in pounds, you will have to do the conversion yourself, could one day rack up large bills for the taxpayer and have decided he no longer has an acceptable standard of health. An Immigration New Zealand spokesman said Mr. What's-His-Face was rejected because his obesity put him at a significant risk of complications including diabetes, hypertension, heart disease and obstructive sleep apnea. It is important that all migrants have an acceptable standard of health to minimise costs and demands on New Zealand's health service, said the spokesman. That guy told everybody, basically, that migrants should not be allowed to overburden health services, but said nothing was mentioned when he first came to New Zealand. The 50-year-old chef and his wife, and if, you know, seriously, go and look at this photo. That is exactly the same outfit she wore on Australian TV. And yes, she wore that expression the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd say the lights were off. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
She looks like she's in a constant state of disgust.
Pretty much. And my hubby's like, okay, if you're that big around, aren't you supposed to have standy uppy boobs? I said, yeah, when you're wearing a bra. So he's like, oh, is that the problem? I'm like, mm-hmm. He's like, okay, and walks out of the room saying nothing more.
He's on, I mean, okay, for those of you that need the conversion, 20 stones is about 280 pounds, so give or take somewhere between 280 and 300.
Yeah, he's not a little man.
He's not little, but, I mean, I don't know, I guess, growing up in the States, I guess, that's just not obese to me.
Oh, wow. That's not obese to you?
Not really, but that's mostly because, I mean, I guess it's obese, but it's not morbidly obese that requires this kind of action.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of men in my family that are 300 or more. So.
Okay, I didn't just toot on air again, did I?
I'm not sure, actually.
I hope not. So, yeah. It's a little crazy. But anyway, probably the thing that irritated me the most with all this is that because her husband's visa has been now revoked, this woman's visa can no longer be put through either. I'm like, why does her visa depend on his visa? That makes no sense. So apparently New Zealand needs to get with the 21st century.
Yeah.
Slightly.
A little bit.
How much time we got? We got 5 minutes. What do you want to talk about for 5 minutes?
I pulled up another story.
Okay, that's cool.
I guess it could still technically go along. Well, it's either this one or the snake biting the dude.
Snake biting the dude would be all good.
Aww.
Aww.
No crying blood for you guys.
No.
I tried.
No. I saw that one. I'm like, no, get the snake.
Man's penis bitten by a snake as he went to the toilet to relieve himself.
As you do.
That'll make all men kind of cringe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I don't think we have that many men that come into our show.
No, but we have a couple that listen but aren't in the room. So, hi, everybody!
So, yeah, it'll be really funny to see exactly how quickly their legs clamp close.
And their eyes water.
Yeah. A man was rushed to a hospital after a snake bites his penis while he was relieving himself in a toilet, according to hospital officials in Israel. The man, 35, of northern Israel, was bitten on Friday after the snake suddenly appeared from inside the toilet.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he was peeing, because otherwise it probably would have scared the piss out of him.
Ow.
The man suffered minor injuries from the bite. Fortunately, the snake was not venomous. Oh, ow, ow, ow.
I'm wondering, did the snake, like,
venomous one.
Did the snake let go, I wonder, or did he have to, like, you know, remove...
Swing it around.
And the snake's going, stuck.
Quit moving! I'm trying to pull my teeth loose. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Wait, hang on. The man told emergency workers it happened after he went to the toilet to relieve himself and suddenly felt a strong burning sensation in his penis.
Okay.
Oh, God. One of the paramedics said the man told him he has seen the snake and it was very small. Everyone, hold your jokes.
Something, something mouthful. Okay, yeah.
Oh, God. I'm trying to see. Because it said he had a really good sense of humor about it, so I was trying to see if he made a joke, but it didn't look like they quoted him. Of course not.
Aww. See, I've always wondered...
This is the first time I've seen a snake bite like this, the paramedic said.
I've always wondered... Okay, that guy got bit from just peeing. What about these doofuses that have, like, snapping turtles in their undies?
I know, right?
Why? Why aren't they getting bit? I mean, did they just have beans for breakfast or something, and that just, like, euthanized the things? I don't know. It just... How unfortunate for that guy.
You know, I have to say this, though. There was a video a while back. It was Kay Stu, meaning Kristen Stewart, explains why she cheated, and it was a woman that you would swear was Kristen Stewart, but it's not. And she says, she was talking about her director, and she's like, yeah, and one time he got bit on the penis by a snake, and I had to suck the venom out. That's the first thought that I had when I read the title of this.
Damn it, Kristen Stewart. Stop putting snakes in toilets.
He did that so someone would suck the venom out, and then it's not venomous. Oh, well, I guess that was an accident.
It was just a trouser snake. Aha! Oh, dear.
Maybe it was jealous, or maybe it wasn't.
Or maybe it was just a love snake bite.
Gay snake! Love is in the air.
I'm still trying to get the image out of my head of the guy trying to swing it up. Monty Python so needs to do that. Seriously. It's just a scratch.
Monty Python with Monty Python attached to their crotch, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we have come to the end of another show. I'm really sorry, anybody that heard me blow my nose. I really needed to. I thought I had it muted. Oh, my God. Anyway, we'll see you all again next week. Have a lovely weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
And this has been the Friday Catch-Up, powered by the ParaQuest Radio Network. Remember to catch the Hostess with No Ghostess every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the ParaQuest Radio Network.